journey is around, is the part that calls to a lot of men, is to take that unknown journey, that step into the unknown, the path least travelled, where there may be danger, there may be demons, there may be monsters, and yet I must, for the good of myself and for the good of mankind and for the good of my family, take myself on and challenge myself to face the ordeal. And so our weekends are structured around the hero's journey, where there's a descent and an ordeal and a return back to society. And so it's kind of, that's the overarching view of the weekend. And each of those steps is really carefully structured, and men are very challenged. It's a challenging weekend because we don't believe that there's real value unless men actually do the work, and getting them there and having them in that place where they can see some of their shadows, and we'll talk about shadows in a little bit as well from Carl Jung.
Please.
Takes work, so we have a lot of staff on board as well who have to assist with that.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Green Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. Most anthropologists, when studying present-day industrial Western man, would confirm that we have gained profound intellectual skills and technical know-how, being adept at many sciences and even the arts across many educated levels. Yet they will in many ways have their breath taken away by the realization of our loss of connection to our planet that we reside on, and the world that surrounds us, more so of not understanding the magnificence of the biosphere that envelops us. Where yesterday's man, though romanticized, was immersed in nature of birdsong and fragrant flowers, living by a burbling creek and possibly residing in a little cottage or thatched hut, nestled among a stand of trees, felt the rhythm of the seasons, noticed the waxing and the waning of the moon, and at various times the planets rising in the eastern sky, and if close to a beach, the ebb and flow of the tides. With the coming of complexity and the pace of life we today have, in so many ways we strive for intimacy of our loved ones and family as we rush from one situation to another. In doing so, we need to take an in-breath and self-reflect. For at this very moment, there is a momentous change happening as we expand to 7.7 billion souls on our home planet. We are realizing that there's a limit to growth, but also there is no limits to reconnecting with our inner self or our inner realms and the potential that resides within. But at heart, there's also a calling out for conscious change. If we are to come through this impasse and into a peaceful world where our children and grandchildren can love and learn to what it is like to be healthy and free, living as a global family in unity consciousness. This possibility is real and maybe the only possibility. In the studio this morning, I have with me Bruce Craig, and he's the representative of the Mankind Project, which I myself had a brief encounter in 2003 here in Auckland. And as a men's group, they have been growing both larger and stronger, not only here in New Zealand and Australia, but globally. Men are coming together. And so I wish to say kia ora and thanks for driving in this morning.
Kia ora, Tim, and thank you for having me.
Bruce, can you tell us, the listeners, the origins of the Mankind Project, just briefly so that people get an understanding of why it's so important to have this coming together of men?
Sure, I'll do my best. So in 1993, I believe it was, three men came together who had seen a need for something that addressed what they saw as missing in the conversation around masculinity. And they spent some time spitballing, if you like, the way to have men connect with their deeper purpose and who they were as men. And one of them was a psychologist, one of them was an educationalist, and one of them was actually an ex-Marine. And they built what we now call the New Warrior Training Adventure, which is the weekend gateway for our work. And from there, the movement began in 1993 in the United States.
And where is it now?
Well, now it's all over the world, and it's opening new regions pretty regularly. So America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, France, England, Wales, Scotland, South Africa, Switzerland, Germany, in a lot of places, and opened up new spaces like Mexico's just had their first few weekends and have started really strongly. Costa Rica is going to start soon, and Singapore, I believe, is looking at it. So it's exciting.
Because men are, at the moment, we need more, I feel, more involvement with men, and men want to be able to feel like a man. And if we go back and look at many of the indigenous cultures, they had an initiation for the young men or the teenagers into manhood to allow them to become more connected to the group or the tribe or wherever. But it allowed the men to feel that they had numerous skills in which to add to the community. It was something that allowed them to be in touch with their feelings at one level, but also, in many ways, be warriors. Would you like to extend on this, please? It's a big story.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you're right. Indigenous cultures for many years have had initiation ceremonies of different types and in different formats, but always with the same outcome in mind, I believe, is to bring men, young men, into adulthood. And we don't have that in our society, especially in Western societies. They do exist, of course, still in some of the indigenous societies. But in the Western world, they really have gone. And what's taken their place, unfortunately, is young men trying to do their own initiations, trying to find out for them what it means to be a man. And of course, in the world today, most of the models that we have are given by media or peer groups or sports stars, and they're one-dimensional. And I think you find a lot of young men looking for ways to initiate themselves into manhood in an unhealthy way. So by drinking a lot, by having a lot of sex with a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of men, by drug abuse or by driving their cars fast, ways to try and prove that they're a man, because that's, I believe, what they're looking for in their lives. What men look for is to, where is that gateway into mature masculinity? So what we do as an organization is say, well, there is another way. There is a more relevant and conscious way to become a man in the modern world. I think what's missing as well is a conversation about what is a man and what is it to be a mature man in the current world, because that model has changed as well. It's not a static thing. There was a time where it did mean to be a macho, to be very strong and hold your emotions inside. And then there was a time where it was a sensitive new age guy, where it was almost the opposite, where it was like feelings were all on the outside. And there was a limp-wristed sort of experience to that of blowing in the wind. And so somewhere in the middle, I believe, is where we don't try to define it for each man, because each man finds their own version and their own understanding of their personal masculinity and what it means, and femininity too. We'll get to that, I'm sure, later. But we like to offer a gateway for men where they can actually do a rite of passage for themselves, have that experience, and come out the other end going, okay, now I've got something.
Very good, yes. It's to be able to be conscious of what you're doing, and as you say, get some building blocks on your inner world to make you feel as if you're connected to your core, anchored in the community, and yet very well connected with your family and your peers, and so that you can be a good model for younger children, but also that you can eventually find a partner, a wife, have a family, and be involved in the greater community. And from a perspective of being courageous, being honest, and essentially having a warm, strong heart.
Yeah, those are all hugely important parts of being a man. And we have some other ones: integrity, accountability, you know, responsibility. And none of those are easy. They're easy words to say, but they're not easy to live by. And part of our credo is that to be a mature masculine is that you be responsible. I'm responsible for how I show up in the world. I'm responsible for the consequences of my actions. I say whether I'm telling the truth or not to myself. So my relationship with myself becomes really important.
Yeah, that's very important, yes. See, I was lucky. I was a wolf cub when I was 8, I think, and then I went on to become a scout. And even though we're sort of somewhat traditional, coming through from the British Empire, they were still, cubs in particular, were based on animals out of India. Mm. And it was Kipling, I think, who basically put that story across. And we learned all sorts of things. We had to be of service, and we had to tell the truth, and we worked together, we played together, and we had to pass certain skills as a cub, from either cooking to handcraft and doing all sorts of survival skills. Mm. And just from that standpoint, it was wonderful. And I really appreciate that. Whereas today, there are very few wolf cub packs as we had in those days. And so you have come in a little bit later in the piece, working with men. How old are the youngest who come on board?
Well, in our last weekend, we had a 17-year-old, but it's normally 18 to 80-something. We've had 80-somethings come along. And I think just going back on what you were saying about wolf cubs and sports clubs and other models where there are healthy mentoring and coaching situations, those are really important. But part of an initiation is an ordeal, is a bit of work that has to be done to actually find out the truth about who I am as a man. And that's something that is not really built into any of those systems. So what we offer, what these types of programs offer, is that we go deep into our psyche and have a look at what really makes me tick. And that's not always a pleasant place to visit. And most men are a little bit resistant, might I say.
I like that. I know the native, the First Nations of America have a vision quest. Mm-hmm. And they may go out for many, many days. And it's like it's confronting who they are, in many ways, storming the inner self. And looking at their dreams and intuiting really, really clearly what their needs are. And so, yes, tell me more.
Yeah, so many of your listeners, I'm sure, will know of Joseph Campbell.
Yes.
And the monomyth and his work around the
Star Wars.
The hero's journey. Yeah, Star Wars, exactly. And the hero's journey is the part that calls to a lot of men, is to take that unknown journey, that step into the unknown, the path least travelled, where there may be danger, there may be demons, there may be monsters, and yet I must, for the good of myself and for the good of mankind and for the good of my family, take myself on and challenge myself to face the ordeal. And so our weekends are structured around the hero's journey, where there's a descent and an ordeal and a return back to society. And so it's kind of, that's the overarching view of the weekend. And each of those steps is really carefully structured, and men are very challenged. It's a challenging weekend because we don't believe that there's real value unless men actually do the work, and getting them there and having them in the place where they can see some of their shadows, and we'll talk about shadows in a little bit as well from Carl Jung.
Please.
Takes work. So we have a lot of staff on board as well who have to assist with that.
Yeah, so it's a great team spirit, how the Mankind Project, the people within it, totally dedicated, aren't they?
They are, and it's a really beautiful community of conscious men who come along to the weekends to assist the next men, and they don't get paid. You know, we're a voluntary charitable trust organisation, so there's no money flying around, and there's no private jets anywhere that I'm aware of anyway.
Like this program, it's all voluntary. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So the men come along, and because each of these things in our lives are only steps. And the weekend is a huge step and a big crack for a lot of men in there and opening the armour that they may have built up over their lives into their psyche. But it's just a crack. And so I have to continue as a man to keep opening that and to keep working on myself. And so part of coming on staff is doing my work, but it's also being there to facilitate and to witness and to be part of the next man's coming through his initiation. So the last weekend we had 32 men come along to be initiated, if you like, to do the hero's journey, but we had 50 men supporting them.
Ooh, wow, that's fantastic backup.
Mm.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And it's incredibly rich as well. You can imagine the conversations, and the depth of conversations are really something you don't get in the pub or on the side of the rugby field or those kinds of places.
You see, you've mentioned this a number of times, and this is one of my favourite words, conscious humans, conscious men, conscious humanity. This is where we're all working towards. And so I really like the idea. And you also just covered body armour, character armour, armour. Can you mention a little bit about this? So I spent 15 years in Parimarima Maxi Security, 15 years, no, 1 year. I spent 1 year.
Sounds bad, Tim.
1 year, 15 months in Maxi at Parimarima Security Prison, teaching literacy and numeracy to all the inmates, or a good percentage of them. And their story is just horrendously sad in most cases, because after taking their first breath and coming into the world, then what impinged on them was, in many cases, lack of love, lack of connection. And so you build up this particular armour to protect you from the perceived horribleness of the outside world, that particularly these kids. Could you talk to us a little bit about what is this that surrounds us that makes Kiwi blokes, or Kiwi jokers?
Yeah, and I'll just pick up on something in your languaging then, Tim, which is really interesting, because one of the things as developed, as men who've done the Mankind Project, we like to use is I statement. So when I talk about when I build my armour, and when I have had wounds in my past.
Yes.
So it's really interesting that men often will put it out into the outside of themselves, because ownership and responsibility is a huge part of the work we do, and you'll notice it more and more out in the world when you speak to people, that it's often, you know, when you go to the pub and you get drunk and you come home, and we move that into, I know when I go to the pub, and conversations like that. So back to your question around armour. So we all get wounds. You know, our lives are full of wounds. Things happen to us that damage us or hurt us. And right from a very, very young age, and some people believe pre-birth as well.
Correct.
And so what do we do about that? We don't have a fully developed intellect, and so we're often not aware or conscious that that has happened to us, and yet we don't want it to happen again. So how do we avoid that? Well, we build something up. We make a decision, a choice around how I'm going to behave, who I'm going to be, and how I'm going to protect myself and have that, whatever that incident was, never happen again. And that's really armour. So that's really unconscious, because it becomes something that I wear that has me react in certain ways in certain situations that I don't even know where it's come from, and can push people away that I love, or can hurt the people that I love that are around me. But I've built it from a child, from a wound that I had as a child or a young teen. And that's what we work with. We work with, hey, where did you get that wound? And what was the decision you made in your life that has you carry on wearing that armour? And how's that working for you now? And how's that worked for you all the way through your life? And can you see the impacts that it may have had in your life? It's a big piece, and it's not easy to take the armour off, because, as well, in New Zealand, we live in a society where vulnerability, honesty and truth is not always rewarded with compassion.
I agree.
It can, in fact, be another opportunity for wounding. So where do I go to find a safe place to do this? I go to our circles, and I sit in circles with the men from Mankind, because I know that they will love me and support me and see my shadows in my inner self and not judge me for that.
Yes, we all need a safe place, don't we?
Yeah, and for some people, they've never had a safe place. Some men have never had safety.
That's right. I can imagine different men showing up to a warrior weekend and thinking, gosh, oh boy, this is too much for me at one level. Mm-hmm. But then they see the fact that you've got all this backup, mm-hmm. and then they get the vibe from all these other people, and they think, gee, these are good.
Yeah.
They're good people.
Do you know what? For a lot of men, it's the first time in their lives that they've trusted another man. Any other men.
Yes.
Because of things that have happened to them in their lives.
I do agree with you. Yeah. Can you extend this a little? Because I think this is quite poignant from a standpoint of see if we can make that sort of crack in the cosmic egg and let some more light in.
Sure. Well, so let's talk about shadow, because it's an important part of our work. And Carl Jung kind of defined that as the part of me that I hide, repress and deny. That's the part that I don't want other people to know about me. It could be a deeply held belief that I have about myself. It could be toxic shame that I've buried very deeply. And it becomes something that can drive the bus that I don't even know is driving the bus. The bus of my life, if you like. And if I'm not conscious of my shadows, they will impact how I relate with other people, how I, the decisions I make, the choices I make, how I respond to stimuli, basically. And that can be really detrimental to having a life, a fulfilled life, and one where I am conscious and understand myself, because the shadows will continually trip me up. They'll come in and have me sabotage myself, my life. And those shadows are built from our wounds. And they can be incredibly helpful. They can have me achieve. You know, there'll be sportsmen out there who were teased as a child about being slow or fat or useless at sports, who've gone, I'm never going to have that happen again. I'm going to overperform, and have probably gone on to become superstars. And yet it's from shadow, so sometimes it's unfulfilled. That can be an unfulfilling experience, because they've never actually seen the driver that has had them move to greatness, and it is actually nagging there in the background, and they're doing it from a place of unconsciousness, and really it's just because something behind them is trying to protect itself. Something deep down is trying to say, I don't want that to happen to me again, so I'm going to overachieve. So shadow is a huge part, and we do a lot of work around the shadow, and that's a place that most men don't want to go. And I don't want to own my shadows.
Join the club.
Yeah, because it's a part that's really
embarrassing.
Carries a lot of shame. Yeah. And men are incredibly good at toxic shaming. So the toxic shame is the part that I put onto myself and really hurt myself with.
Yes.
And so if there's toxic shame surrounding my shadow, I'm not going to stay a mile away from that place and not really want to open that up and have a look inside the Pandora's box, if you like.
Yes. There was something else you said. Oh, sabotage, self-sabotage.
Mm. Mm.
I see this on so many situations where a person then will just turn around and they'll choose some words incorrectly and basically make them feel they'll nearly demean themselves. Or it's a sad story.
Mm.
And we need to be able to find the vocabulary to deal with these. And I have interviewed people around from the Peace Foundation, and they've got cool schools, and the cool schools talks about using conflict resolution and having peer mediation to help young children who get into a difficult situation like an argument, or to be able to resolve that. And I know people from down the Waikato, because that's where I come. I'm essentially a cowboy, a dairy farmer's son. And these cowboys or these guys just don't have the vocabulary to express themselves. And there are many, 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 many different words you can use to allow yourself to come out more. But again, if you're in a rural environment too, it's very difficult to get people to support you.
It is. And you know, so what, there's a way to describe a man who is coming from that place, and that is acting out of shadow. So when I'm acting out of shadow, it's the unconscious part of me that has me say things that can be damaging to myself or to others. And you know, and that's the immature part of myself. So that's how we almost define the difference between an immature man and a mature man, is being responsible and conscious about what comes out of his mouth and his actions. And if you look around the world currently at some of our leaders in the world, you can see men acting out of shadow all over the place.
Yes.
And you can see immature men in grown-up bodies who are yet still immature children, you know, reacting and not time and responding, but really coming from self-protection places, coming from places that I'll damage you before you can damage me.
there's another way too that I've looked at things, Bruce, is that the little boy inside. I know a number of women who have gone out with mature men, and because these mature men have had a couple of drinks and they're infatuated with this woman, they will act like a little boy. Mm-hmm. They won't act like a mature man. Mm-hmm. And this is just yet another layer of what we have to deal with, as to, I mean, I want to keep my child, my inner child, alive and well. Mm. I mean, there's one word we haven't used today, and it's joy. Mm. We need to be able to experience a lot of happiness and joy in our life, and fortunately I do. And naturally I want 7.6 billion human beings to enjoy this as well. And so can you just talk a little bit about maybe bringing through the child, or the inner child, out into the world so that they can feel safe?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my inner child is so important. He is so joyful and so much fun. And if he doesn't feel safe, though, he's not able to express himself. Yeah. He's the one that will actually say, don't let that happen, don't let that happen. And so he can create the shadows. But once he feels safe and can be fully self-expressed, then he is the giver of joy. You know, he's where all, you know, if you think of your childhood and those joyous moments that I've had, why wouldn't I want him to be alive and well? And some of our processes in our weekends, we connect men back to their inner child. And it's incredibly deep and impactful for men, because who they're, the dreams and the aspirations and the joy and the love that they felt as young children are still there. They're just buried, and they're just wrapped up in armor and locked away because that decision they made was the world isn't safe. And so our job and what we do is to say, you know, let him out, and he's safe here. He's safe here with us, and we can help you create safety for him in both in our circles and the places that we interact as a community, but also out in the world, because if I'm strong enough in myself and understanding my mature masculine well enough, then he will always be safe. But if he's locked away and you know, not allowing me to be fully self-expressed and not wanting me to own my shadows and not wanting me to be a grown-up and keeping me like a child and immature, then it's not helpful, and you don't really ever get that experience of joy, because again, it's out of shadow. It's not actually the pureness of my little boy. It's the sort of shadowy side of him. Because what Jung defined around shadows is that there's shadow. Well, there's the golden side as well. So there's my golden inner child, but there's also the shadow inner child, and that's true for all the parts of myself. So if you look at the archetypes that every man has, they have a warrior, they have a magician, they have a lover,
yes,
and they have a king,
yes,
and each of those has a shadow side and a gold side. And you can see, for instance, the lover, a shadow side of a lover is the part that can be addicted to pornography or drugs or alcohol. But the golden side is the one that will express love and look into the eyes of the people that you love in your life and show it. And that's that wonderful experience that we all strive for in our lives, or that we all yearn for. And yet it can so often be taken into the shadow. And that's the problem, I think, one of the problems in the world at the moment, is so much of our lives are lived in shadow, and so much of the impact of communities around the world, impact on communities, comes from shadow. And so much of the wars and conflict are because men aren't actually doing the work to be responsible for their shadows.
It's a big question, because there's, particularly if you look at sort of present day situations in the Middle East, children haven't got an opportunity to really grow now into a loving family, because they're in a war-torn situation, and there's all sorts of other propaganda going on all the time. And so, I don't know, it's a massive problem. And I guess we've got to start with ourselves, and we've got to start in our own backyard, haven't we?
Absolutely. You know, I wish, obviously, I would love that, just like you, that the population of the world had the opportunity, as I do. You know, it's a privilege, of course, to be sitting where I am and to be able to go and do this work on myself. Some people don't live in situations where they can even have a conversation about what is it to be conscious, because they are wanting to know what they're going to eat or is a bomb going to land on their house. And the reason, if we fly up in the sky and say, well, why are these bombs landing on this particular place, or why is conflict continuing to occur in this on the planet? It's because of shadow. It's because of acting from shadow and not being responsible and not being able to be conscious of another man's needs and understand his perspectives. I'm only going to keep pushing because I only believe what I believe, and if you argue with me, then you're wrong. So I'm right and you're wrong. That's basically what leads to conflict.
I've seen movies from time to time where armies were fighting each other, and you'd have a sergeant of a platoon who was a good man end up fighting the other side, and there's a sergeant of another platoon on the other side, and both these soldiers are essentially very good men, just on the wrong side of a divide. And when you come across a true warrior like that, who all he wants to do is take care of his men, he wants to make sure that they're safe and they can come back and they achieve their task. And so I guess throughout society, and there are so many good human beings everywhere, and we've found ourselves basically coming up against each other, because I know darn well there are good people in every country, and yet, you know, we've got a conflicted global political scene. I don't particularly want to go there. What I am wanting to say is that you will find that when Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev had their disarmament conferences back in the late 1980s, there were good people on both sides who said, yes, we've got to make sure that we can disarm. We have to make sure that we can factor children into the future so that we can have peace. And so there are, again, these good people, and we need to be able to make sure that there's a new generation of good people coming through everywhere who are really now very conscious and ultra skilled.
Yeah, it's really true. And, you know, we work obviously on men. That's our job, because I believe that men are a huge part of why conflict arises. I don't think the feminine is overly responsible for a lot of wars and problems in the world.
Their numbers in jail is something like about 7-10% of women are in jail, compared to around 90% for men.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's important in the work we do is the ripple effect, you know, as every man goes back to his family and goes back out into his life. You know, what gives me great joy and what is why I stay in this work is because I know that every man who goes out has got a new way of looking at himself and his life, and some access to being a man that he says he wants to be. It's his definition of manhood, and that would usually include words like integrity and loving and responsible, and to take that back out into the families and to have the young children have that in their lives, and to have young men marrying women who have that in their lives. Then you can start, you know, the ripples can spread. And this is the model, this is the path I've chosen, and there are others, and they're all important. And I don't know that it's one organization's responsibility to change the world, but our credo, if you like, is that we want to change the world one man at a time.
I'm all for you. Agreed. And I think this is a major blessing, really, for the Mankind Project to now have been embedded in New Zealand for some years. I think I mentioned before, I went to a celebration, initiatory celebration afterwards, where the wives and the family came and the men stood up and spoke their piece, gave thanks to the project supporters, the initiators, and then called and talked to their wives and family. And it was a very heartfelt occasion, because those men were really moved.
Oh, it's an incredibly beautiful night, the homecoming or graduation.
Yes.
And, yeah, could encourage your listeners to come along to one of those, because they really will get to see how men can actually transform themselves in only 48 hours or so. They come out pretty much going, what? That was just a weekend? and I feel like this, and I can speak my truth to my wife and my children, and I can express my love standing on a stage in front of 100 people now, that's a pretty huge impact. And to see the wives sharing their joy and their love for their men who've come back and taken themselves on is again, it's just so heartwarming that, yeah, it is like a drug, but perhaps a better one than some of the ones that are otherwise available.
I'm speaking with Bruce Craig of the Mankind Project New Zealand, and you can get their website at mkp.org.nz. mkp.org.nz. Yes, because so many men, and me included, for years, love was a difficult word to express openly. Really, it's a word that people stumble over or stutter over. But just to turn around and say, I love you.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about New Zealand men and how we're set up. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to blame or shame,
bag,
but, you know.
Bag them.
Yeah, but given that we're a frontier nation and that we had to do it tough.
Yes.
And there was a requirement that men, you know, were strong and powerful and probably didn't have, like we were talking about the young men in Syria now, they don't have the freedom to spend time delving into their emotional states and why they were here and their perhaps a deeper purpose. They were busy surviving and building a nation. I think that created the macho, staunch, you know, stiff upper lip, don't be a girl kind of model that has been pervasive for several generations. And yet I believe, and I truly believe that one of the reasons that we have high suicide rates and a lot of domestic abuse and high prison rates is because of that, is because we haven't had given our men the opportunity to express their emotions or the tools to understand that they have emotions and how to express them cleanly versus dangerously or impact, you know, when they harm other people. Men have grown up in a society in New Zealand, I believe, which doesn't encourage vulnerability or offer safe places for that to happen. You know, the rugby club scenario, you will have an incredibly close mateship with your team members.
Bravado.
Yeah, and you know, and that's really important. And I love playing rugby and I love growing up in that. And I have some lifelong friends. And I never really spoke my personal truths in those situations.
No feelings.
No, because you just wouldn't, right? It just wouldn't be safe and it wouldn't feel like it was an appropriate place to do that. And maybe that's right, but where would I do that? And where would I go? It wasn't going to happen at home. You know, most children don't get the opportunity to do that with their parents because the relationship with the parents is not built like that either because of the modelling that we've had around how we grow families. And, you know, we could go on about the nuclear family and how that's created an unhealthy parent-child kind of too-tight relationship versus the way it used to be where the community would raise or the village would raise the child.
Extended family,
that, you know, the whole white middle-class version that a lot of New Zealand operates from now, I don't believe is a particularly healthy way to raise a child. I think that we need uncles and aunties and mentors and other men in our young boys' lives.
Very true. I mean, there's many grandparents and parents in the time of the Irish potato famine in the 1850s didn't get to New Zealand and they never saw their children again. In Dublin they had warehouses, they're called wake warehouses, where the mum and dad used to come down and the children used to get on, you know, the 20-year-old or 25-year-old used to get on the boat. And they all cried, and it was called the wake, because they knew that they'd never, ever see their children again. Mm. And so the young ones came to New Zealand and as pioneers and had to thrash it out here. And then what happens? They get called off to wars. Dad's father went to war, and Dad went to war. They come back, and they're traumatised, and we don't have ways in which to give them the therapy that they require. And so we in New Zealand, as you say, as a pioneer country, we men have, we've been in the back blocks in many ways and breaking in the land. And so we've lost our softness at one level due to the fact of the harsh conditions.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that as we move to a more understanding of our masculinity, that doesn't mean that I become a weaker man. In fact, it means I become a much stronger man and still able to set boundaries, in fact, set them in a clean way so that I know right my right from wrong. My values are on front, and it's up to me to own my masculinity and my own personal power, but use it responsibly. So it's not about playing rugby or not drinking beer even. You know, those things are part of my life as a man, and I will hold those, and I will also hold that I'm responsible for the life that I create and how I treat my loved ones and how I treat the planet that we live on as well. I mean, there's a responsibility of every man and every person on this planet to now be conscious that we all have an impact, and our children are going to live on the consequences of how I behave now are going to be the lives that my children grow up into, the world that my children grow up into. What world do I want that to be? Well, I want it to be one full of conscious men who are responsible for their actions.
Yes. We've got heaps to do, haven't we?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sometimes easy to be overwhelmed by the size of the task, but there's plenty of proverbs around journeys starting with one step and build a wall one brick at a time, and all those kinds of proverbs are important because it's actually true. We can't, if I'm not doing something about it, then I'm doing nothing about it. That's my own one.
Yeah, okay. Yes, well, you see, it's connection too. You see, I'm a great believer, because we share the same breath, that where does this breath come from? Well, it comes from our planet. And so it brings in another consciousness of the fact is that we've got to take care of the environment that we live in. And I find a situation, you ask children today, could you name me five grasses, five trees, native trees or exotic trees, or can you name me 10 native birds? And the kiddies fall short. Mm. They fall short hugely because of our disconnection. And see, I like the idea of touching our navel, our belly button, and then tracking back to our mother, our grandmother and our great-grandmother, and going all the way back through the family tree, back through the lineage of species, and somewhere in the great mystery, we come from our planet. Mm. So if we fast forward to now, the most important thing is for us to turn and face the future, making sure that we are making a regenerative world that continues to bequeath us all our needs, and that we leave the world in a far greater state than when we came into it, which is a very difficult one because when I was born, there was less than 3 billion people. Now there's 7.6 billion people. So our work is cut out to make sure that our children and our community has a future to look forward to. So this is when I'll just jump in here at the moment, Bruce, because when I close my eyes and I hear your story and I tend it's nighttime and I look out over the city of Auckland and I can see these little shiny sparks of men who have done your course, that they have come through and they are now pillars of society and someone whom we can trust and know that the future is going to be taken care of, because that's happening across New Zealand, Australia, America and France and Britain, etc. These are the men taking their power, coming into alignment with what I would say is their incarnation, their reason for existing.
Very true. And, you know, men come, leave our weekends as well with a personal mission of service that they have built for themselves. And that's something that is exactly that. What is the world that I want to live in? And what do I have to do to have that world come true? And that helps build my personal mission, because I, deep in my core, I know what that is. And deep in my core, I know how important that is to me and to the planet and to my children and to the people I love. And so if we can send men out into the world with that and they can model that, living from mission, then we do have a future.
Yes. Vulnerability, the big one. And you are offering safe space. I feel that's fantastic. Can you allow listeners, be it men or women, just one or two ideas of maybe some of the processes that you may take a man through Is it possible? Just a synopsis of these are some of the things that you would be able to experience without giving away the game plan.
That's great. Thank you for saying that because, well, you know, men's initiation, male initiation have been held sacred for a long time, and there's an important piece to that is that, you know, if I know what it is that I'm stepping into, then somewhere I'm mentally preparing for it, or somewhere I'm trying to put up defences for it. So we like to keep it as surprising as possible, just as though you're going to a movie. Would you want to know the start, the middle and the end of that movie? Would you really still want to go and see it? So we like to keep it secret. But I guess the best analogy I've got is around the hero's journey and the fact that we take men on a descent. We remove them from the world that they know, and we take them to a place where they have to start really questioning what they know about themselves. And then once they've taken that descent, then there is an ordeal. And that ordeal is around shadow and around going into my ashes, into those places that I do not normally want to visit and would normally run 100 miles before I would visit. And that's the ordeal. And then when you fight the dragon, when you slay the dragon, normally there's a treasure, there's some gold. So it's mining that gold and getting the gold for myself, for my ordeal, that I can take back to my community. So then that's the return. That's coming back into society with my mission in my hand. So what, you know, why am I here, and what have I got to give the world? What is my particular gift and my personal gift to this world where I've been born? And then you come home and you return to your loved ones, carrying those in front of you and aware of your shadows that have had you living your life a certain way. So, you know, I haven't told you how we do that.
That's okay.
But that's the flow of the weekend. And you know, I just want to also say that that's not the end of the journey as well, by any stretch of the imagination, because we live in a world where we will continue to have things happen. It will continue not to be safe to be vulnerable. So every week, men have the opportunity to sit in circle and to sit with other men who want to continue their personal journey or want to process something that's happened to them during the week or want to support other men in their process. And that's about the community continuing to support men going forward, sometimes for the rest of their lives, because, you know, it's not a pill that we can pop over a weekend and go, okay, my life's now sorted.
Sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish. So, you know, we've got to keep working.
Yes.
And as a man, you know, rising to the challenge of continuing to work on myself and being responsible for myself and understanding myself more and more every week is one of the reasons I'm here.
Yes. Well, it's a fantastic reason, and I honour your commitment, Bruce, because we need plenty of men to stand forward, because the big question I'm coming to now is where does the female of the species come into this? Because I have, over the course of being an ecologist, environmentalist for 45 years, have come to the realisation that the sacred feminine is under assault,
mm-hmm.
and that is personified in Mother Earth Gaia.
Yes.
That everywhere we're doing is we're extracting, and doing horrendous things. And I've gone down to Kate Shepherd's grave in Christchurch, and she was the one who led New Zealand into becoming the first country in the world to grant women the opportunity to have a vote and start to vote for their lives and vote for the way they wish to see life. And so from the standpoint of a female, I'm actually come to the conclusion it's going to be the woman who are going to save this planet, because so many of the men have become, as I've said before, distracted and not been able to find their real purpose in life. So could you tell us how the wives and the girlfriends and mums and grandmas relate to this fantastic work that you're doing with the men?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things in there, so I'll touch on them. thanks, Tim. So one of the pieces we do over the weekend as well is about reconnecting with Gaia and understanding our relationship to the spirit, to the land, And it's important that for a lot of men, they spend their times in offices or doing day jobs, and I forget that we live on a planet that nourishes us and sustains us. So there's some work around that in the weekend. What women and daughters and mothers get is are men who are responsible, who are grown up. And my God, they love that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, men they're not pushovers and they're not shrinking violets or anything like that. They own their power.
Present.
Being but they're present. Yeah. And they're strong and they're powerful. And I've been told that's a really important attribute for women to feel in a man, that they have their power and that they have their strength and that they understand. And they also understand their feminine side, which is, you know, a big topic, and we'll touch on it. Because we have a feminine side, you know, we do. And that's our, and we all come from the earth, as you've said, and we give love and we experience love, and we need to understand that that's a big part of who we are as men. And that's not becoming feminine necessarily, but that's understanding that I have a feminine aspect.
A nurturing quality.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, when I hold my child in my arms when he was born, how could I not feel that nurturing quality? So it's there. It gets put away and it gets locked up like a lot of other things for men. And the third piece you were talking about is that woman will save the world. Well, they can't do it on their own. You know, we men have to become responsible and part of that journey.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure whether it's male or females that will save the world, but as a species, we have to get off our asses pretty quickly. You know, there are lots of studies now telling us that we may not have a very habitable planet in the next 20 or 30 years if we continue raping and pillaging the way we are now. And, you know, that hits hard to actually own that and to say that I'm part of that in my actions and that... Well, I leave my grandchildren in a habitable planet. You know, that's scary and makes me sad.
I mean, we're surrounded by this magic, this magnificence of all of nature, the splendor of, you know, butterflies and different flowers and fragrances and bird sound and all the different insect sound and trees and the biota. It's just too profound for us to walk away from that.
Mm.
I say to kids, well, look, you know, point your finger up and stars, the sky, there's magic up there underneath the ground. There's magic down there too with all the fungi and the bacteria. We're surrounded by magic. And I say, well, if we're surrounded by magic, what does that make us?
Right, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, beautiful. And, you know, the children need to feel the earth and feel the mother. But for men, it's even more important because when we remove ourselves from that, we lose a part of our groundedness and we lose our connection and we lose our purpose. You know, if we just spend our time driving to and from work and sitting in offices and, you know, having quick bursts of holidays here and there where we unwind for a while, drink a bit and then have some fun and come back. It's not enough. But if I can feel the ground and if I can look at the stars and if I can touch the plants and not understand but experience the complexity of life, then I can feel into my mission again to bring that back. How am I going to serve this planet that gives me life?
Agreed. I presume that when the men go back and join their spouses and loved ones, you can be in the kitchen and your arm goes out and round and hug your wife or your girlfriend and you can help do the dishes and you can clear the table and do all these things together. I know that even making a bed with your loved one, you can have fun doing this. And when you're working together in tandem, doing all these little chores, they don't become chores. And that's when the appreciation comes back. And that is also when you express your little gems and wonderful things that bubble to the surface to essentially I don't know, caress you in something warmer and allow you to belong more.
Yeah, you know, if you have a life companion, and men do and some men don't, that's a journey in itself. You know, that person has often seen the worst parts of you and the best parts of you, and so how can I... And so there's often shame involved in that, and there's often armor that goes up in relationship. And so being conscious again and understanding that the shadows that I've built in my relationship with my life partner or my partner of choice, it gives me an opening to own that. And this is tough. You know, this is true vulnerability, is saying to the person that I love, you know, I was a real asshole and I've been behaving like this because of this, and I really want to apologize for that. And I can see the impact it's had on your life and on our lives and on our children's lives. But here's what's new. I'm not up for that anymore. And this is how I want to be, and this is how I want it to go. And that conversation, that little snippet, that's hard.
For redemption. This is fantastic.
Mm.
Bruce, I want to say I really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you.
It's made me feel, I don't know, so much better. I'll go to home tonight feeling, good. Yeah, those sparks of light across the country, those men coming home to themselves. The core of their being is going to ignite. Their inner candle's going to be blazingly strong. And we need them because we are at a situation where humanity has to come together.
Mm. Absolutely. And Tim, I'm going to make you an offer. You're going to become one of those shining bits of lights the next time we have a training.
Thank you. I'll do my best to... I work weekends, and it's so difficult getting away from work.
Of course.
But I will do my best to prize myself.
We'd love to have you. And, yeah, and yeah, for any men listening, obviously, we're incredibly inclusive. We are open for all men of any creed, colour, sexual orientation. Wherever you've come from, we can make financially, we can support men coming to the weekend. We don't want to make money a barrier or anything a barrier to men. So we get men from everywhere, all over, any age. You're welcome. Please join us.
Website?
Website is mkp.org.nz.
Cheers, brother. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Tim.
That was Bruce Craig of the Mankind Project New Zealand, and the website is mkp.org.nz. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.6 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And or Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say Kia Kaha and Haere Rā.